Welcome to episode 78 of season 2 of the Search with Candor podcast. I am your host, Jack Chambers Ward, and my guest this week is an SEO consultant as well as the host of the Talks with SEO series on democratizing SEO, Austin Isezabor. I'm going to be talking to Austin all about the search generative experience, oh yes, a hot topic, and what we think the future of SERPs are going to look like in the next 5 to 10 years. It's a big topic. It's very much following up on my discussion with Garrett Sussman from a couple of weeks ago about Google Perspectives. I think it is a very, very hot topic and a very interesting thing to be talking about here in July of 2023. Before I get to my conversation with Austin, I'd like to say a huge thank you to Systrix, who support and sponsor Search with Candor every single week throughout 2023. Systrix are known as the SEO's toolbox. If you go to systrix.com/SWC, that stands for Search with Candor, and go and check out some of their fantastic free tools, such as their SERP snippet generator, the href lang validator, which, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, I've been using a lot on clients recently, the Google update radar. I think there's some recent SERP volatility, so keep an eye out for that and updates on the Google update radar. And if you want to go and check your site's visibility index as well. Funnily enough, I was speaking to our principal SEO consultant, Brendan Bennett, here at Candor the other day, and we were talking about how brilliant Systrix's competitor analysis is and being able to compare different domains over a long period of time. There isn't a better tool. And this, again, I know this is a sponsorship part, but I would be saying this regardless of sponsorships. There isn't a better tool for my money for historic keyword and historic visibility data over the last 5 years. Say you've been working with a client for a really, really long time. Systrix is fantastic at being able to see the progress over the last 5 years, especially comparing it to other domains and their overall visibilities as well. It's a really, really brilliant way of getting a snapshot and keeping a long-term track. And it's something we've been incorporating into our client reports month to month as well. Having the ability to input multiple domains and compare different types of competitors. So the conversation we had with the client was, who do you think are your main competitors in the organic space? And we put those into Systrix. We compared them with the client's existing domain. And since we've been working on them over the last few years, we can then track how much work we've been doing, which one of the other competitors have gained or lost visibility. It's really useful for seeing overall industry trends. So if you think there's been a Google update or a shift to the industry in some way, you can see that, oh, all of the competitors and our domain have been affected in the same way. There's a chance there's kind of a correlation there, right? So maybe one competitor shot up out of nowhere out of visibility, which happened for a client of mine not too long ago. We ended up having a conversation about it. You can check this stuff out very easily. And then once you kind of spot any unusual trends or spot any patterns, you can then dive in and have a look at the keywords and have a look at that long-term historic data for that individual domain. Then, of course, diving into subfolders and specific URLs there as well. With this client I mentioned previously, we had a look and worked out that they had focused in and basically built an entire topic cluster around a particular product they sell, a particular type of product. It was all about Squishmallows, which I know we've talked about on the show before. And they had really honed and focused and created a bunch of informational content around Squishmallows that then linked through to their product pages that they were selling Squishmallows through. And this was a whole process of kind of investigating this and working out where has all this visibility come from. It's because they were ranking for some really, 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 and I mean surprisingly high search volume keywords, some really high visibility keywords that were related to Squishmallows. I think rarest Squishmallow was one where apparently collectors really, really care about this stuff. So there was a lot of people searching for that kind of thing. And through Systrix, I was able to identify, oh, this competitor shot up in visibility. That's interesting. Where did that come from? Have a look at the actual subfolder and the pages within that subfolder to see where this visibility is coming from and quickly identify, oh, this is the topic cluster they've been focusing on. This is the thing. It's not an overall visibility boost for the site. It just happens that there is a huge focus from them for whatever reason on Squishmallows and these, I think it was like a couple of dozen pages, blog posts and product pages that were all linking to each other, have suddenly shot up in visibility and suddenly are ranking for high volume terms that bring a lot of visibility. All thanks to Systrix, all thanks to their domain comparison feature, which, like I said, I highly recommend. Go and get a free trial. Go and check out Systrix because it's a fantastic service and they sponsor the show. So thank you, Systrix, for supporting us. And I know we talked about Trendwatch last week. I'm saving a couple of the trend watches for when Mark is back, and we'll be talking about that later on this month on the Systrix with Canada live stream, which will be happening at the end of July. The final week of July on Thursday, the 27th of July, is when we're planning to do that. So when you're hearing this on Monday, that's next Thursday if you're listening to this on day of release. Mark and I will be reuniting and talking all about the latest SEO news and also talking about Systrix. And I've been specifically saving a couple of the funny and relevant trend watches for when Mark and I reunite next week. So stay tuned for all of that. And yeah, thank you once again to Systrix for sponsoring us. Before I get to my conversation with Austin and Cesarbor, I'd also like to mention I'm teaming up once again with the fantastic SEO mindset dynamic duo that is Sarah McDowell and Tasman Suliman. And we're going to be doing another live podcast in Brighton around the time of Brighton SEO. So this is Wednesday, September 13th at 7 p.m. at Projects the Lanes in Brighton. Tickets are free and they also include drinks and snacks. So you're getting bang for your buck there already. We did this back in April. It was a brilliant event and we're hoping to get even more people into the Globe Room at the Projects this time around. Last time we talked about dealing with conference anxiety and anxiety around conferences. Now we'll be talking about how to manage your energy levels. I think it's a big topic. I think it's a thing that we need to think about when we're attending conferences and things like that. It's something I actually touched upon in the last time we did the live podcast because my energy levels are all over the place when I'm going to big conferences and social events and things like that. So it's something Tasman, Sarah, and I are going to be talking about in great detail. And we'll also have a live audience there to take cues and give some A's to those cues as well. The podcast will also, of course, be live streamed on the Silicon Brighton YouTube channel. I'll put a link for that in the show notes, so make sure you subscribe to that. And of course, it'll be the following week's episode of Search with Canda and over on the SEO Mindset podcast feed as well. So if you are in Brighton on September the 13th, come and join us at Projects the Lanes. The link for the Eventbrite for the tickets will be in the show notes at search.withcanda.co.uk, or you can just click the link on your podcast app. And now, without any further ado, here is my conversation with Austin Acezabor. My guest for this week is a freelance SEO consultant and host of the Talks with SEO series on democratizing SEO. It's Austin Acezabor. Welcome to the show, Austin. How are you, sir?
Thanks a lot, Jack. I'm good, thanks. You're one of the few people who know how to pronounce my surname.
Yes, I do go out of my way to make sure I'm trying to pronounce people's names correctly.
No, you nailed it.
Awesome. That's what I like to hear. How are you? Welcome to the show. First of all, I'm a big fan of your show as well. It's very, very nice to have a fellow SEO podcaster back on the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, I've been spending a lot of time on it and aiming to get it as brilliant as yours.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. It's really nice. We were just saying before we started recording to podcast with another podcaster and kind of turn the tables. You're usually the host on your show, but actually turning the tables and having you as a guest, I find it's quite nice to kind of like, it takes the pressure off a little bit sometimes, but also You have that instant kind of audio quality, that rapport. You kind of know how this whole thing's going to flow. So I think it's going to be a really, really cool episode and I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
Yeah, likewise. Yeah, we both have a mic and we both sound good. We both sound great with a mic, so it's, yeah, audio will be clear. And I love the lighting that we both have. I think yours is a lot more bright. It's a lot brighter than mine. I need to up my game.
Yeah, I've got we've got some pretty big studio lights here. I've only got one of them turned on at the moment because I'm using the separate camera. If I'm using the proper camera we use for the live streams, there's like four or five lights just absolutely blast. You can need to get as much light into that sensor as possible. But as some of the listeners may know, I don't know if they know, I'm quite pale. I'm a white guy and I'm very, very white and very pale. So I blow out the camera pretty quickly with my paleness. So I can't have too many cameras and too many lights on me at once. So I just turn into a complete ghost.
No, the lighting makes a big difference. It's nice to see you clearly on the podcast.
That's something I think I underestimated before we started doing video content. It's just how much difference lighting makes. Because you can have a really amazing camera, but if your lighting is not up to scratch, it will basically look like any old webcam. And exactly. On the other side of it, if you have a super cheap camera, like the camera I'm using here is like £40, something like £30-40, something like that. But with good lighting, you can make it look so much more professional.
Yep, yep. I hear that. I hear that. I'm that way, but with sound. I focus more on sound than lighting. So right now, I only have one lighting. I have two, but I find that one is usually okay. Oh, well, I thought it was okay until seeing yours. I might have to bring the other one out. But I tend to focus more on audio first, I should say.
Me too. I'm an audio first person. I've very much, you know, been podcasting for 12, 13 years now. So I'm very much an audio first kind of guy. And I've only just started learning video stuff recently. We've been doing the live streams with Sistrix and stuff like that. But it's cool. I'm hoping to do more video content. I think that's the plan for us as an agency and as the podcast grows and stuff like that, to do more video content. I appreciate you've gone straight onto YouTube with Democratizing SEO and Talks with SEOs, right? Was that a conscious choice from your side of things to go straight to video content?
So I consider this phase two of a seven-phase plan, master plan that I have. Phase one was audio only, and I spent maybe 10 minutes or so, and it was just monologuing about SEO. I have a thing about SEO, which is odd for, you know, some SEOs, but yeah, I live, breathe SEO. So that was phase one, just me monologuing, audio only. And phase two, I decided to launch it. I think it was October, November last year. And I said, okay, let me step up to video and have it as a guest-based podcast. And I went from 10 minutes to more or less an hour with video.
I know that feeling.
So yeah, it was a steep learning curve, I should say. But yeah, I think I've got my bearings with video podcasting now. And yeah, it's phase two so far. I was aiming to launch phase three this year, but I think I'm going to focus on phase two for the rest of the year. I have a lot more thoughts around video podcasting and SEO, and I want to mesh those three into something. So I have other phases to come, where those will be years down the line.
I like having the long-term plan. I think that's always good with a new project, whether you're starting a new podcast or a new site and you're working in SEO, working with a new client. Having that kind of multi-phase, multi-step plan is always key to kind of keeping up long-term goals, making sure you're hitting those goals, keeping track of all of that kind of stuff. And don't be afraid to pivot and shift as well while you're going there, right? Like, it's not necessarily set in stone, but having that kind of guideline, I think, helps a lot.
Yeah, definitely. I remember when I first told people about my podcast, this was during phase one, I mentioned I had a 10-year vision. And I remember this person specifically, and the agency I was contracting at the time, she looked at me like, you're going to spend 10 years working on a podcast, growing a podcast. And I was like, yeah, it's just, you know, something I do. Yeah, it's an odd obsession, but a beautiful one. It's how I like to spend my time, talking about SEO.
Funnily enough, me too. And that's why we're here, right? That's why we're here to do a podcast together. So the topic you brought for us this week is all about a pretty hot topic, to be honest, around in 2023 at the moment, the SGE, aka the Search Generative Experience, and the future of SERPs as a whole. And this is something I touched on a little bit with when I had Garrett Sussman on the show a couple of weeks ago. We talked about perspectives and kind of how that's been changing the SERPs, you know, people testing that out in the US and all that kind of thing. I'm interested to see kind of the slightly different perspective, for want of a better phrase, no pun intended, to talk about the SGE side of things and really get your thoughts and ideas and kind of predictions as well, I guess. We're going to be peering into our crystal balls and looking into the future of what we think the SERP is going to look like over the next 6 months, couple of years, 10 years. Get around to that 10-year plan of yours, Austin.
Sure, let's do it.
So let's kick off with, leading off with that, what do you think the long-term plan for SGE is? Do you think this is a flash in the pan, Google and test it out, give up on it quickly? Or do you think this is a part of a wider kind of user experience journey that Google are going through right now?
I think it's one of those situations where it's a need must for Google. Google has, they have to do something like this, like search generative experience, like perspectives. Let me give you a quick background on, well, it's my theory on why they're doing this. I haven't talked about this even, not even on my podcast, so this is an exclusive.
Breaking news, exclusive for Search with Kanda.
My thinking around why Google are making this pivotal shift in search and user experience is the threat from social media. You know, when we think of social media platforms specifically, namely TikTok, we think of, you know, these are social platforms, but they do have a search element to them. And my thinking, you know, social and search, they both share the same audience, right? They're going after the same user base. And as users increasingly search more on these platforms, these social media platforms like TikTok, the more they stay away from Google. And I think we're at a point now where Google is realizing they, TikTok, they have the youth being Gen Z and Gen Alpha. Now, the third generation after Gen Alpha, if they attain them, Google's market share will drastically reduce. And I believe they're going to lose market share. Odds are Google will turn out to be one of the big players. I don't think they'll have as much dominance as they do right now in the coming years, but I do think they'll be a major player. Now, how much of a dominance they have depends on how much they serve their users, right? And if you think of the way Google indexes information compared to the way social media platforms index information, Google is very outdated, extremely outdated. think about this from, for example, the way people search is entity led, right? So they, on social media, I should say. So they search for a creator, I don't know, Logan Paul, for example. And then they decide on the topic, right? The way people search on, and that is influencing the way people search on Google. The way Google indexes information is outdated, as I mentioned. They index by topic first. They index topic first, and then they index, they consider the creator, i.e. the brand. So they seek information, whereas social media platforms, they receive information. That's a big difference there. The way social media platforms receive information is naturally lends itself to being brand-led, entity-led. And Google is falling behind because they are not keeping up with the way people search. Because social media platforms are more brand-led, entity-led, the way people search, they remember the entities first, i.e. the brands, the creators first, right? So if you think of the way the changes Google are making, going from strings to things, all of this is to ensure that they capture the audience. Remember, they have a shared audience. They want to capture the audience and maintain their dominance with the audience. So they have to shift from being topic-led to being brand-led or entity-led. And this is my thinking behind why they are making all these changes to search, essentially because of the threat of social media platforms, namely TikTok.
It's interesting because I think we talked about it a lot on the show recently with how much we're seeing short video content served on SERPs now, TikTok being the prime example, right? And I think you're totally right. More and more people are turning towards, for want of a better phrase, influencers. You use Logan Paul as an example there. I think, like, you know, one of the biggest and most influential people in the world, especially to younger generations. I think that is a big factor in a lot of people building that trust and that kind of reputation and almost relationships with brands as well, right? You have that kind of relationship with an influencer or the face of a brand in a very different way than you do to just a household name brand. Like Nike, for example, no one is especially the face of Nike at the moment, but maybe you have Logan Paul and he's the face of Prime and everybody knows that's Logan Paul's drink. Even if you see it in a supermarket, you know that that is Logan Paul's thing. And that is kind of already establishing that human kind of interaction and that moment exactly. of connection, right? I think that is a big part of why kind of user-generated content is becoming more and more popular. And coming back around to perspectives, like I was saying a couple of weeks ago, and as you were saying just a second ago, that's serving way more social media content. It's purposefully mm-hmm. showing more perspectives from Twitter. Well, maybe not Twitter much longer, but maybe it'll be replaced by Threads soon. But things like Reddit, Quora, stuff like that, all that user-generated content where I think people kind of want to get past the filter of a lot of the... And like my wife has said this, for example, she'll search for something and find what she calls like SEO crap, where it's obviously written just to rank for the sake of ranking to get clicks, and it's not actually providing that much value to the user. Whereas if you're searching for these specific things and interacting with things in a slightly different way, as you're saying there, you get through that kind of, you break through that bubble and find that more user-generated content, whether that's through social media, whether that's through TikTok, whether that's YouTube content or podcasts or whatever it is, you're mm-hmm. directly interacting with the people. And I think that ties into EAT as well, right? They introduced experience for a reason, right? I think that's a huge factor in that.
Absolutely. The experience part of it is essentially Google realizing they need to pivot and use the playbook from social media platforms in order to stay relevant in this upcoming world of AI. Now, when I think of AI-generated content and how experience is going to become a lot more important, think about, how can I explain this? Think of Bard, right? And also SGE. Bard specifically. They essentially can curate content themselves, right? Google can. They have 25 years worth of data, right? On pretty much any and all topic you can think about, right? So if someone searched for something, Bard can essentially provide the information that the searcher is seeking. What's going to be more important is the experience, and the experience from users, i.e. people, creators. And this to me is looking into, okay, AI content is going to be rampant in the years to come, probably even in the months to come. It can be as early as a few months,
probably,
right?
Tomorrow, dude.
Yeah, with the speed of changes, right? It can happen. And they're seeing AI generated content as, if you like, low tier content. Now Google have said that they are not going to discard it, but I believe more important content, more quote unquote important content, is going to be content that's centered around branding. I'm using branding as the most important type of entity. Essentially, Google are going to be focused on entities, right? Branding, I think, a brand, I should say, is going to be the most important entity out of all the entities the brand has. So using Logan Paul as an example, he is the brand. Prime is another entity, right? But the most important one is Logan Paul as the brand, the creator. And Google knowing and indexing information, i.e. entities, based off of just topics, it's not going to do it. Bard is going to have that covered. What's more important is knowing the brand, knowing the creator, the entity. And this is where social media has a one-up on Google, because they already have the information, all the data points that they need to understand a brand. Whereas Google, sticking with their, if you like, outdated way of discovering information and discovering it via topics rather than brand first, they are falling behind. So they have to make changes. And the experience part is a pivotal part, especially for perspectives. This is why they've launched their perspective, or are launching their perspectives. This is something that they realize is rampant on social media. People want to understand other users or real people's experience with things, whatever topic they have in mind.
Definitely. I think that's a huge part of it. And especially with the SG having that real kind of like FAQ based, learn more and ask questions here and all that kind of stuff, you're going to find people searching in totally different ways, right? And rather than just the people also ask kind of thing, you are literally generating that new response and getting a new way of interacting. And I think a lot of people are seeing it as kind of an expansion upon PAA stuff that we see so often in SERPs. A lot of people are seeing it also as kind of the escalation from what we saw about 10 years or so ago from featured snippets. And there was a lot, I know you were around about that time, Austin, but I wasn't, but I'm aware of the fear and stuff that happened around it 10 years ago when featured snippets happened and everyone was going, oh God, there's zero click searches. What do we do? And all this kind of stuff. Do you think the SGE is going to kind of bring a new wave of worries to SEOs in terms of getting fewer clicks, dropping their CTR and stuff like that?
Definitely. I think SGE is, if PAA and all feature snippet was level one or primary initial change, I think SGE is taking it to another level. And I think we are, SEOs are going to see a change in traffic, definitely a change in visibility for certain keywords. And for certain, if you like, stages within the user's journey, the early stages, forget about those. They are pretty much covered by Google, SGE, Bard. All of that is I think Google, they have to own that in order to maintain their competitive edge with social media platforms. But we still need those information, right, on our site. Where the difference is going to come, I think, is going to be an increase in searches around branded terms. So a branded keyword, when I say brands, consider entities, I should say. So brands, products, all of these are entities, right? And I think we're going to see an increase in that. And that is going to be a lot more valuable. So if someone is searching for, let me use a simple, basic example, red shoes, right? I think that's pretty much going to be owned by SGE and perspectives. However, if someone's searching for ASOS red shoes, that's a lot more valuable as a term to go after. And I think with e-commerce, we're going to see less of it. Because someone these days, someone searching for red shoes, you know, they're not looking to do a history lesson on red shoes. You know, they want to, it's a purchase intent, right? So for e-commerce, there's going to be less of an issue with these top funnel keywords. The changes are going to be around non-e-commerce or, if you like, question-based searches.
I think that's a huge part of so many strategies we talk about with clients here, and you know, we've talked about on the podcast many times before. I know you've talked with people before as well. Having a combination, serving all the possible intents for your potential clients, right? Your users.
Yeah.
Having informational content on an e-commerce site can actually bring users in through a different path. And if they're going to, like you said, look for red shoes on your site and your shoe website, then they want to ask a question, well, what sizes are available? What different brands are available? Whatever.
Yeah.
If you have answers to those questions, that stops them from leaving your site and going somewhere else. And I think that multifaceted aspect to targeting search intent and making sure you're covering all your possible bases with users, I think you're spot on there. Yeah, absolutely. I think e-commerce is going to have maybe a weird journey, but less of a significant direct effect on those transactional intent side of things. It's the informational stuff that I think is really going to get affected by this, because you can so easily spin off with the questions that SGG comes up with, the fact that it has the little FAQ sections and explore more and all that kind of stuff. That leads itself to that informational journey. And I wonder if that almost could make customer journeys longer, because they're more likely to kind of click around and hover around on the SERP for longer in a way. Do you think that's going to necessarily affect how users eventually get to their end goal? Do you think some users maybe will find it frustrating, or do you think it's probably going to end up being a more positive experience for users?
I think overall it's going to be positive for users. There is a chance that it makes the journey longer, but I believe SGE is designed to make it quicker. So the research phase, let's consider informational based queries, the research phase. Google is looking to shrink all of that down and have all of the information that you could possibly need, the facts, should we say, on the SERPs itself. You don't need to click on the website, go back, click on a different website. All of this is going to be, it's time consuming. And if you think of the way social media platforms have this information, right? They have it via people. And also, I should also add, the way websites function, it's a lot more clutter than social media platforms. Let me give you an example. For an informational based query, right? Let me think of one. What's it like in New York during summer, right? You can have a website that has that information on the website, but everything else around it is full of junk, clutter. What is the phrase that your wife used? Was it SEO?
SEO crap mess? Was her exact word.
SEO crap, yes.
I think I'm probably also editing that for the podcast, knowing my wife. That's me censoring my wife.
But it's true. She's correct. With, you know, I don't know if you can, if I sometimes look at websites and I see the SEO on the website, right? I think all SEOs see it.
100%. You can't turn that part of your brain off, right? When you
exactly,
you know it when you see it, and it's like, I see what you're doing. You're almost like unpicking the strategies. You're clicking around.
Yeah, right. Especially with long form content, which in itself is a mistake. But anyway, that's a separate discussion. But all of this leads to crap before a user receives the information with the query, of the query. Whereas on social media platforms, so a user can find exactly what they're looking for from a user who's created that content without having to go through several different pieces of content just to find it, right? So that expectations from users, and remember, social media platforms, Google search, same user base. Users expect to receive information that quickly. Whereas on Google, we're using the outdated model and Google influencing websites on the way that websites have traditionally optimized for Google's subset of users who they want to make their users. It's outdated and they need to change it. They being Google, which means they need to influence websites to make changes. So I think the way we optimize websites is also going to change in a drastic way. I think the information will have to be a lot more quicker. I think we'll have to signpost to machines, Google, a lot clearer as to where precisely this information is. They don't need to. And I think this is probably one of the reasons why so far on SGE, there aren't necessarily links in place for information. And I look at that as Google saying the user doesn't necessarily want to enter a website to gather this information, go back to Google, search for, click on another website. All of this is time consuming. So the research phase is going to be shrunk down. Google has to shrink that down for their users because that's what they expect because of social media.
Yeah, that's interesting. I want to kind of, I'm trying to imagine what my user journey is going to be like. Because like you said, it's difficult to turn off the SEO brain side of things. And I find myself, even in daily life, just searching around outside of work, outside of, you know, even if you're not on a website, just on the SERP, I'm conscious of like, oh, how does that SERP feature work? Did they use Schema for that thing? Like there's that constant little thing in the back of your brain, like take it away, right? I wonder if Schema will become more important to really signpost key information and stuff like that. Obviously, that's been a big part of a lot of, you know, targeting PAA strategies. Obviously, we have the tool here at Canda called Also Asked, which helps you get all of that information. And then using Schema to closely target and mark your FAQs and stuff is a huge important part of that strategy. Do you think Schema will tie into this as well and kind of help Google find that structured data and get the answers quicker and faster? Or do you think Google are kind of going, nah, we don't need you. We can do it ourselves. We got the power of AI and we can kind of, you know, we know what we're doing kind of thing.
Excuse me. I think if you're relying on Google to get it right, they're going to get it wrong. So you have to use Schema. I think Schema will be fundamental. Schema is the language of Google, right? So if you have Schema and in place on your website, on a page, you're telling Google precisely what they are looking for. You're signposting them. Without Schema, this is them figuring it out. Now, if you have two different websites, one with Schema, one without, Google is able to decipher information quicker and easier than with the one that has Schema than the one who doesn't. Who do you think they'll prefer to show up? Who do you think they'll get information from? It's going to be the one who makes it easy, right? So every website will have to have Schema in place. I think this is something that all SEOs will need to ensure that brands are aware of the power of Schema. It's not necessarily for users, but for something that will help search engines, namely Google, to help their users, it's fundamental. So think of a site that I like to recommend in terms of one that provides information to Google in with Schema in a very succinct way is IMDb. They have it nailed. I think all websites will have to get onto the level of IMDb from a Schema implementation point of view for their specific niche or vertical.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. That almost like Google likes you giving them a helping hand and just like signposting your information is, like you said, makes it so much easier to find, to crawl, to index, and then serve on the SERP. I think Google do really kind of like people to point as many kind of directions as they can and be like, this is the thing. You don't have to go
so,
in the same way that users do, right? You're finding that thing on a featured snippet and now going through to SGE. You're going to find that information straight away right in front of you, highlight, you know, the new featured snippets that have the highlight in blue and stuff and big bold text and all that kind of thing. You're making it as easy as possible and as digestible as possible compared to, oh God, it's 1500 words and I've got to scroll through this thing. And it's probably like put number 18 out of 35 different points in this article. Just keep scrolling, having it signposted. I think you're totally right. Schema is going to be, it already is, but an even more important part of so many content strategies to really kind of highlight the important parts and make sure we're serving the right information at the right time and to the right people.
Yeah, absolutely. And think of a number of brands who have a problem with their CMS, not able to have Schema implemented. This is something that will have to be worked on.
With the changes that are coming, quite a few clients personally. I'm sure you
right,
have as well.
Exactly, absolutely, absolutely. You know, a lot of these CMSs are not kept up to date, right? So CMS optimization. SEOs working with developers on the back end to ensure that things are enabled on the front end will have to be a priority. So if you think of SEO, the three main pillars, all pillars, a site will have to be strong on all pillars, including the fourth pillar of data, if you want to consider it the fourth pillar of SEO. I know there's a lot of data-led SEOs who consider data the fourth, and I'm fine with that.
I'm comfortable with that. I'm not going to argue too much. Yeah. I don't want to pick a fight with data SEOs. They're very scary people. They have all the data.
Exactly.
So let's kind of prognosticate for the future. Do you think SGE is going to become a fundamental part of the future of the way we search? Do you think perspectives is also going to be part of that? And how much do you think those two kind of elements, the newly introduced kind of tests and experiments from Google, are going to be around in 5-10 years time?
Okay, so both I believe will have to be around. It may not be in the current form that they are in. Remember, both are still, if you like, on in beta mode, right? Google will have to have something like this. The two of them being around is a bit confusing, right? There's always a question of, well, what's the difference? Which is which, right? Now, SGE is a search generative experience. I like to think of it as, if you like, the facts about a query, whereas perspectives is more firsthand experience. So it's, think of it more as opinion pieces, right, from real people. That's the way I like to differentiate them. Now, Google have to be careful with the way they launch it, because think of these as two different products within the product of search. So they have three different products which they're essentially trying to maintain for their users. And if you think about it, in a sense, they're becoming more social-led, dare I say. And we know Google historically haven't been very, how can I put this, effective, or should I say good, with social media based off Google Plus, for example. So they have to be careful with the way they serve their users, ensuring that they do not distract them, and ensuring that they're serving them with precisely what they want based on their current expectations, right? I think it's going to be around both. The future of them, I do think they'll need to have an iteration. If they can somehow bundle both into search and make it the new search, I think that would be better. At the moment, they seem like three different, it seems like it's split, and Google is splitting their focus, which is each one is taken away from the other. And that isn't good for Google, I don't think. I think that is leaving users a lot more confused. Even as SEOs, we're confused about the two of them, SGEM and Perspectives. So if they, let's say scenario A, they make the beta versions of both of them as, if you like, testing grounds. And when they release them, they slowly merge into the one search rather than having three different ways of searching. It's just one search. And this could be the new way of searching. The blue links, they'll slowly fade those away. And I do think those will fade away no matter what in the years to come. And have it as, okay, this is now how users can and should search on Google search. Scenario B is they keep both around, and users' understanding of search becomes distracted. It's not as simple as it used to be. And if we have that scenario, I think there'll be a question mark of, okay, why am I going to Google search to be confused when I can stay on this platform that I'm on, namely TikTok, and search for something, get precisely what I'm looking for, and be satisfied quicker than I can with Google. So this is the lines that Google are facing. They have to somehow make their search functionality seamless and as one, rather than the three different ways of searching, yet introduce it in a smooth way that doesn't take away from what users already expect from Google, which is still the 10 blue links, which is, you know, fading away. My thinking is that Google wanted to fade away the 10 blue links over a longer period of time, giving users a lot more time to get used to using search. Users from if you think of the oldest person on who uses Google all the way to the upcoming generation using Google. But because of social media platforms, they have their hands forced, and they have to make those changes now a lot quicker. So this is what I think is the dilemma that they are facing.
I totally agree. I think, yeah, we could definitely head down the too much going on at once on a SERP kind of thing, like you were saying, that mm-hmm. distracting kind of thing. Because I think we also take for granted, we were just talking about how you can't look at a website and not think of it with your SEO brain. And
right.
The other way around is people who are not SEO, and then it's like, well, I don't even know Perspectives exist. Most people around the world don't even know Google Perspectives is being tested in the US right now. They don't know that SGE is round the corner and have no idea what that even stands for. Most people probably even know what SEO stands for, let alone SGE.
And it's
those people. Let's not worry about us as professional SEOs or like the power user people who kind of know what's going on. The vast majority of people do not care about this stuff and just want to get to the information. And I wonder, like, obviously, I think I am guilty of this, and so many of us in SEO are guilty of this, like kind of taking that for granted. I mean, like, oh yeah, SGE is going to be this big thing, or Perspectives is going to be this big thing. But what really matters is, what do people who are not in SEO and not paying attention to this stuff, how will they react to it?
Yeah.
And I used the example of the big, bold, blue highlighted featured snippets that came around like late last year, early this year. And I talked to my wife about that shortly after they came out. And she was like, why? It's a bit patronizing, isn't it? I was like, like you can see the two sides of it, right? Like that is giving you the clearest bit of information as quickly as possible. But then she was like, well, I can look for it myself. I'm a grown person. Like, I don't need you to point out and bold everything and like all this kind of stuff. Why is it highlighting the keywords? I'm like, yeah, okay, fine. Like, I think we kind of underestimate how people will, funny enough, have different perspectives, no pun intended, about how this stuff's going to work. And I think you're totally right that we could be heading towards a directionless, weird SERP where sometimes you're getting search generative experience, sometimes you're getting Perspectives, sometimes you're getting some blue links and then a map pack on top of that, and then feature snippets here, and the SERP can be confusing enough as it is. Like, speaking to my parents who are completely technologically disinterested, have no sort of, like, they're recently retired, so have no, I think they recently bought something on Amazon and it was like a big celebratory moment. Like, we bought something on Amazon and you didn't have to help us. Yeah. and here I am working in tech and SEO and all that kind of stuff. But I think we kind of underestimate how it could be a weird, jarring, like you said, distracting experience for a lot of people. So I think Google really have to learn how to hone this in and really make it as intuitive and as easy to use as possible for people who are not professionally clicking around. It's something I talked about with Garrett, where Perspectives is a pill at the top and just underneath the search bar. It's one of those little filters like images and videos and news and all that kind of stuff. The big question for me was like, where is it going to sit in the SERP? Is it always going to be like the first thing you see? So you search something, there's Perspective, then images, then news, then videos, whatever. Or is it going to be relegated to like, for want of a better phrase, position 7 across that set of pills? So would the standard, you know, everyday user of Google even notice it exists? And without, do they have to force it upon people for people to notice, or is that a frustrating experience? I'm full of questions of like how the regular everyday Google user will kind of have these weird experiences going forward.
Yeah, I think all of that is a possibility. All those options are possibilities. And I think Google will have to moderate it based on the user data. So let's say for someone who's known for searching for a particular keyword, and Google knows that they want to, Google decides, okay, they're just researching, right? They will just show SGE. There's no need, they will decipher, there's no need for them to click on websites. If they want to purchase something, they'll probably show SGE and then ads, and then have organic results way down in page 2. It saddens me to see organic the traditional Tumblr links removed. And I do think for some queries, it's going to remain. I think for queries where Google doesn't necessarily have enough data set or aren't confident on the data set, we'll still have the template links. But when Google are very much prominent, sure of themselves, then they'll show SGE. So think of, let's say, Apple's keynote event, right? The ones they have every September, I think it is, September and March. During those times, Google knows that people will be searching for, people who are searching for Apple want to see Apple-based information, i.e. Apple's website. So they'll be looking to pull information from there as quickly as possible and to present it in an intuitive manner. So in those types of queries, the 10 blue links wouldn't make an appearance. You'll probably get SGE. You have multimedia results in the SERPs. For queries where Google either are not sure or it could be a combination of things, that's when you'll see the traditional blue links, perhaps SGE and maybe perspectives. Right now, I think the first step for Google is to prepare their audience for it, their users for it, which is why I believe they have it as an option and why I think they'll phase that in slowly. But they can't be too slow with it, because the slower they are, the more, the higher of a chance that they lose their market share.
Yeah, yeah. I think their market share is a really interesting thing to think about, because we so often see Bing and kind of the smaller search engines doing these weird experiments and doing cool little extra things. And then Google will come along a few months later and be like, hey, look at this thing we totally originally invented. Honest, this is a totally cool thing. There's been a lot of talk about maybe Google adopting some form of index now, because from the stats that we've seen from Bing, that's been a huge success, and how many pages are getting mm-hmm. crawled and indexed through that process. Do you think mm-hmm. we will see other kind of, obviously we've already seen Bing AI and that kind of not quite the same, but heading in a similar sort of direction. Do you think this will be a kind of landscape changer for other search engines in general, because Google is obviously the market dominator, for want of a better phrase? Or do you think this is where, like you said, that shifting balance may tip towards more social media stuff, and things like TikTok and YouTube and other kind of social media platforms will kind of balance out and actually take some of Google's market share?
Yeah, I think with competitors of Google, search competitors of Google, they haven't been that much of a threat to Google. The real threat, the real threat, quote unquote real threat, will be from social platforms. And I also throw in Amazon. So if you like non-search led platforms, TikTok, Amazon, those type of platforms, because they're verging into they're going into the space of search. They're now serving users and prompting their users to search. If we didn't have this threat from social media, I don't think Google would have released certain features as they have done this year, or are about to release this year. I think it will be this year that they release SGE and perspectives. All of that, I believe, is because of social media. I don't think other search engines were that much of a threat to Google. But when they started to see that, one, they do not have the audience of Gen Z and Gen Alpha. I think Gen Alpha was the one that really got them thinking, wow, this is something that we need to take seriously. If users are searching on the platform that they are on, i.e. social media, because social media, it's strange, because it's always, being a search person, I've always considered search as my thing, right? But I always looked at social media as an interesting area, because I saw the search functionality or capabilities on social media, and it was never a big deal. I thought of this ever since Google bought out YouTube, because I was like, oh, okay, I see what they're doing. They want to own the competition, as they were at the time. And I saw a similar thing with TikTok. Now, if TikTok were American, US-based, I do believe Google would seek to acquire them from a broader POV, and I'll touch on this very, very quickly. But we essentially have Google search, TikTok, US, China. That is the battle that we're seeing from a broader point of view. And it just so happens that these entities are US number one, China number two. But in terms of who's the fastest rising economy, it's China. So again, all of this is a major, major issue for Google that they have to address. They cannot just rest on their laurels and expect to maintain dominance. It's not going to happen. Eventually, if we were to look down, let's say 10 years from now, I don't think we'll have one main dominant player as we do now. If we do, I think Google will most likely be the one who's on top. But I do see, I think we'll have a situation similar to how we have Apple and Android as the two main factors. I think we'll see this type of thing on search, where we'll have a player who's the more dominant, but the secondary player is right up there with them.
Which is not something we've really seen in the history of search, right? Even since the early days, 25 years ago, or 26 years ago, I guess it was 27 years ago, when Google first started.
In the very, very early days.
The really early days you had. Yahoo was kind of big up there.
Just slightly before my time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be very interested to see what that kind of more competitive search landscape would look like. I'm here. I'm intrigued. I'm worried, excited in equal measure.
It's going to be exciting times for SEO. It's going to expand SEO. I think the traditional way we carry out SEO will have to be, will need to adapt. Certain keywords, top funnel based keywords, will have to have less focus on them and more focus on more important ones, beginning with the brand. I think the brand will be central to everything that's carried out in SEO moving forward.
Awesome. Well, that is a good note to end on, Austin. I think it's going to be a very interesting 6 months, year, 18 months, 10 years down the line. So I look forward to experiencing it with you. Maybe we'll have to reconvene in a year's time and see where this all is and what's happening.
Sure, yeah.
Make an annual check-in and see where the SERPs are.
It will be my pleasure.
So where can people find you around the internet if they want to follow you and follow Talks with SEO and Democratizing SEO?
Well, Jack, it's been a pleasure being on. Thank you so much for having me. You can find me on YouTube under Democratizing SEO. Check out my website, and also I'm on LinkedIn. As I mentioned earlier, I'm not much of a social media type of person, but LinkedIn is my jam. So yeah, look me up on LinkedIn.
Nice. We're not finding you on TikTok anytime soon.
I was contemplating TikTok very early on, but I'm more of a passive user of TikTok than a participant of it.
Awesome. Well, the links for everything Austin just mentioned will be in the show notes, listeners. So go to search.withcanda.co.uk. You can find the LinkedIn, the YouTube channel, the website, everything there for you. Nice and easy to follow Austin and follow and go and listen to the podcast as well. It's fantastic.
Oh, thank you. Yes, please do.
Thank you so much for joining me, Austin. It's really, really cool to have a conversation. And like I said, maybe we'll reconvene later on down the line and have another update on the SERPs and the future of SEO.
Thank you, Jack. I'll be happy to come on. I have a lot to say around the future of SEO. So yes, that'll be awesome to come back.
Awesome. Thank you, man.
Thank you. Cheers.
And that about wraps us up for this week's episode of Search with Canda. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you once again to Austin from Democratizing SEO for joining me. That was a really interesting conversation. Oh boy, there's a lot of things to be talking about with the future of SERPs at the moment. If you haven't already, by the way, do go and check out Talks with SEOs on the Democratizing SEO YouTube channel and podcast apps. I highly recommend it. Recently, funnily enough, featuring the one and only Steve Payne, the marketing manager over at the fantastic Sistrix. And Steve doesn't often get on a podcast, so it's nice to actually hear Steve interviewed. And as a little tease for those of you who have stayed around right until the end, Steve might just be swinging by the Canda studio for another podcast very, very soon. So stay tuned for that. I've got some fantastic guests coming up, as well as Steve. I'm going to be talking to Alize Bordes. I'm going to be talking to Katie McDonald. I'm going to be talking to Joe O'Reilly. I've got a lot of fantastic guests and a variety of different topics, from digital PR to things that are annoying us in SEO to international SEO topics and everything in between, coming up in the next week. And of course, like I said, the live stream with Mark at the end of July as well. So lots of stuff, lots of exciting stuff coming up in the next few weeks on the Search with Canda feed. So thank you so much for listening. Please stay tuned for all of that, and I will see you next week. Have a lovely week.